Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Riddle me this. Have you ever had to work alongside a girl or a boy that has broken up with you?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah, because when I was a server,
okay,
it was notorious. I mean, we all just passed around partners.
Sure.
Like, it was like our favorite pastime. So, yes, I have had to serve aside somebody who was an ex of mine.
Abby?
No, I like to keep men at a distance, so I can't say I've ever really attempted in dating somebody that I've worked with.
Nope, can't say that that's happened to me.
Even when you were working at Joe's Crab Shack?
No, I don't think it ever got to the level of where we could break up with each other.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And there's a reason why they call that place the Crab Shack.
Exactly.
I realized when we came in this morning that this is the same radio station that dumped us some time ago. So we're doing the show from the affiliate that broke up with us.
We are in a beautiful Lexington, Kentucky, broadcasting from Hot 102.5. Who no longer airs the show.
It was a nice 6-month run, though. We crushed. Remember when we got this station, how excited we were? This is your hometown. We're going to crush here. Yeah. They don't even like you here.
Yeah, that tracks.
Got us nowhere.
Should have known, Bert.
How you guys doing this morning?
I'm great. How you guys doing? It's Friday. I'm Abby.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. How about you, Abby?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Friday. Just trying to chug along into the weekend. I'm trying to gear myself up right now. It's hard when you wake up at 6 a.m. and you're thinking about everything you have to do for the rest of the day. And I'm like, God, I have to take shots in 12 hours. And so I'm thinking about this Halloween party I've got to get along to. But you know what? It's Friday. I'm excited to be here.
That's a nice problem to have. Kristen and I both left Kentucky, Atlanta, I should say, maybe around the same time.
No. Well, you were supposed to.
Yeah.
We hit the road at 1:30 from Atlanta.
And I decided to fly because I just didn't want to be in a car for 5-6 hours. Mm-hmm. So we were supposed to leave yesterday at 1:50. Our flights got delayed and delayed and delayed. We didn't get here until 7 o'clock. So we got here around the same time.
We did. I actually beat you to the state.
Yeah,
like, I crossed into the state line and you still hadn't landed your plane yet.
So we're doing the show, at least Kristen and I, from Kentucky this morning because we got a nice big birthday weekend planned.
We do. Our good buddy Joel is celebrating a birthday weekend. He is an alumni of Auburn. He actually was the Auburn mascot. He was Aubie for several years. And Kentucky is playing Auburn this weekend in Lexington. And if you are familiar with SEC schools, and Kentucky is a destination place to go watch a game in October because we have a racetrack called Keeneland that is open in the month of October. So people love to make like a huge weekend of it. So that's why we came down early, because today after the show, we're going to go to Keeneland and we're going to bet on some ponies. We're going to get all dressed up and be in the clubhouse. And then Saturday, we're going to have a long day of tailgating because kickoff is 7:45 on Saturday night.
Anybody that has been to an SEC game before, Abby, you know this, man, those late late night games, man, those are tough because the tailgating starts early in the SEC. And by kickoff 7:45, you don't know if you're at a baseball game, at a basketball game, at a football game because you've been drinking all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's I make no promises of what condition I'm going to be in when I walk in that studio Monday morning.
I sort of have made it. I'm determined at some point or another to try tailgating in every SEC stadium. So obviously, as a Georgia fan, I've been to Athens a whole bunch of different times. Auburn, I've probably been to 4 times because of Joel and Molly, our best friends. They bring us there. Let's see, I've been to Knoxville, which was great, amazing. I've been to Jacksonville for the largest cocktail party. It feels like a stadium. It's not a college campus. Mm-hmm. But Ole Miss also, which if I had to rank them, you can't beat Ole Miss as far as tailgating goes.
Really?
Oh, no.
Abby's
no.
Like, I beg to differ because you haven't been to UF.
I have not been to UF. What makes the UF one special? I can't believe I'm sticking up for Ole Miss. I've only been on campus one time.
No, I've heard good things about Ole Miss's tailgating because it's like the Grove, right? Like everybody's in that one part. And so that must be really nice. But to me, I think it's less about the environment and more about the fans that are around you. And to me, there are no more passionate, yet without being crazy fans, than the University of Florida fans. So I actually just booked a flight yesterday to go see my friend in about a month to go see Florida play LSU, so very excited about that.
Have you been to LSU?
I have not been to LSU yet, but as I've said to my friends on the West Coast, like every weekend is a major rivalry in the SEC, and growing up in Southern California, everybody's like, UCLA, USC is the best. Man, when Vandy plays Alabama now, that's a huge game. You know? So I'm looking forward to seeing these two.
Yeah, it's going to, but you have to decide, because like, you have to pick a dog in the fight. Who are you going to root for and what jersey are you
going to
wear?
Isn't that the beauty of, like, going to a game when your team's not playing in it, though? You can actually relax a little bit, drink.
Absolutely.
You don't really care who wins and who loses. It feels like...
No, you must care.
Okay. My answer would be twofold. Is it with my heart, if I had to place a bet, or who do I want to win?
Give me both, but first give me your heart and then give me your bet.
I'm more connected to Auburn. Because I've been so many times.
Okay.
And so many of my friends are from Auburn.
And it's Jill's birthday, and it would be a nice birthday gift.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But if I had to put money down on the game,
yes,
it would be Kentucky.
Okay, good.
That would be the smart bet.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's go into the entertainment bus.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
This is insane news. I knew we all kind of were expecting this to happen in the next couple of months because of all of the press that had come out about the Menendez brothers with the docuseries that came out and the show Monsters. It's all about them. But the fact that this is actually coming to fruition is pretty insane. So I was scrolling through my number one news source yesterday, TikTok, and I saw that the Los Angeles DA said that the Menendez brothers might be resentenced and could be released in the next couple of weeks.
I have to tell you after a very careful review of all the arguments that were made for people on both sides of this equation, I came to a place where I believe that under the law, resentencing is appropriate. What that means in this particular case is that we're going to recommend to the court that the life without the possibility of parole be removed and that they will be sentenced for murder, which, because there are two murders involved, that will be 50 years to life. However, because of their age, under the law, since they were under 26 years of age, at the time that these crimes occurred, they would be eligible for parole immediately.
Massive news. I mean, if you haven't heard about the Menendez brothers case, I'll give you the quick recap. This happened back in the 80s and 90s, and these two brothers say that they were abused by their parents and believe that their parents were going to kill them at some point. So they decided to retaliate and actually shoot their parents dead. And they had been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And so the fact that just on this random, like, Tuesday, they might be able to get released is massive, massive news and a huge win for anyone who's experienced abuse from somebody who has power over them.
Yeah, so we have all watched the Menendez brothers documentary recently. Mo, myself, Bert. Abby, did you watch the documentary as well as the show Monsters?
I watched the documentary, but I couldn't bring myself to watch Monsters because of how it was portrayed.
Exactly. And I, Bert and I both never even finished Monsters because it just didn't connect.
Yeah.
But when after you watch the documentary, every single one of us in studio, you know, putting aside like who produced it and bottom line, we all felt like, yeah, no, they've served their time.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on the show a little bit before, and if you haven't seen it, we can't even describe the despicable acts that the father did to these kids, or at least has been alleged, which has been confirmed by family members, babysitters, you know, people that were connected to the family. And until I saw the documentary, I didn't realize that was even part of the case, really, back in the day. Mm-hmm. But it's so despicable that anytime I tell somebody what was done, they say, literally, no wonder why they did that to their parents. And it makes some sense.
And so if you're wondering why now, like, is it because of the docuseries that came out? Is it because of the show that came out that people are, or that the court system is ready to reevaluate their case? One of the main pieces of evidence that wasn't used in the first case is what's come out that has pretty much convinced them to reevaluate if they should be serving time or not. And it's this letter that was written by one of the brothers. I believe it was Eric Menendez, the younger one. He wrote this letter before the murders to a cousin and a family member, basically detailing what his father was doing to him. And so now the court system is seeing, okay, well, that's written proof of some of what was happening. It's not something that they were just making up in an attempt to try and get out of their sentence. Mm-hmm. It's showcasing that this is really valid and that we need to see their case in a different light.
Yeah, you had something to add?
The documentary, it changed a lot of people's perspectives and showed you how abuse has evolved, the way that we look at abuse has evolved, and just how the law has evolved. And I just think it's incredible to see how the power of TikTok and the voices of all of the people who just decided to stand up and say something, and it came all the way this way. Like, that's pretty impressive.
If you're wondering why, like, the Menendez brothers decided to do this documentary now, they say in the documentary, we just feel like we are in a place from a society standpoint that we can talk about this and it'll actually be received and it'll be heard, that the society has evolved when it comes to not just abuse, but abuse of boys and abuse of men, can actually, people can have empathy and not just turn a blind eye to it.
And also, have, if you haven't seen it, you're like, well, how about the mom? Well, she knew what was going on and kind of supported the dad in the whole thing. So that's why the boys went downstairs. And you really should watch the documentary. I mean, this is really in the news. You can't miss it right now. And if you're curious, it will give you a definitive reason why those kids had a reason to come on down and do that. And they've been in jail for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, they've been in there for 36 years. And it looks like if they get resentenced, I mean, it could be before Christmas that they get out. So I'm really hoping that that for them. All right, a former Hallmark employee is suing the channel over something she says she and other women have no control over. I'm going to tell you how the company is responding on your next eBuzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Guarantee your retirement with Georgia Safe Retirement Planners.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There is a certain sense of pride that those that love horror movies take in saying, I've challenged myself to go see the scariest movie of all time, and it had no effect on me whatsoever. This is a whole genre of movies I don't get. Same as roller coasters. Why would you do that to yourself?
It's fun.
Why is the intent to scare yourself, right?
It's the adrenaline rush, honestly. It's like, it's fun. It's like, honestly, the people who like horror movies, we all have the same thing where we like to be startled, which is, I know, kind of counterintuitive to, you know, being a human. Usually people don't love that. But like that rush you get when like something actually scares you, especially when you've been watching horror movies for a long time and something gets to you, nothing beats that feeling.
We call them freaks.
Yeah. I feel like... life is scary enough as it is. I don't need to add any more fear into my life.
But you'll also notice that, and I think Jackson here and Rebecca are going to be a great example of this, when you got two people in the same room that love horror movies, oh, I can handle it better than you can. No, I can handle it better than you can. So you took this to the test.
Yeah, actually, the whole premise of this is the fact that I'm not an avid scary movie watcher. I have a kind of contentious relationship with scary movies where I went through a phase where I absolutely loathed them, and then I went through a phase where I actually loved them when that was like right around early high school. But one movie actually messed me up bad enough to where I've kind of just written off the genre altogether for maybe the last 8 years. And so I thought this would be a fun experiment, though, because I don't watch horror movies, and freaky Rebecca over here absolutely loves them and watches them by herself and falls asleep to them. She's just like, she's the pro. So I wanted to put it to the test.
I want to know what the horror movie was that scared you off it.
Insidious.
Yeah. Ooh.
Was it the same one we were talking about yesterday? Was it Frozen?
Might have done that to Mikey, though. And so,
I think I actually stepped on you. What was the name of the movie that that scared you so much?
It's called Insidious, and if you've seen the movie, you'd get it. Like, that was right around the time where I got super into this lucid dreaming stuff, and like that kind of plays a role into this movie, so it felt even more real to me, and it absolutely terrified me. But for this, yesterday, what Rebecca and I did is we found this article basically highlighting what the top scariest movies were, and it's not just based on people's opinions or reviews about them. They actually go and get strapped up to these heart rate monitors that track their heart rate throughout the entire showing of the movie, and they basically are looking for what is your base heart rate beforehand, and then what is your average rate throughout the movie, and what is your peak heart rate throughout the movie as well. And so Rebecca and I wanted to put this to the test and basically look at this and see, is a seasoned horror movie goer versus someone like me who's more of a newbie at this, like what would the difference be in sort of the data that we're looking at? So yesterday we went
the
to top. This is a scientific experiment here.
So official, Jackson.
And so yesterday we went to Tommy's house, and Tommy, the known movie buff cinephile of the group here, along with Rebecca, has this really awesome movie theater and in his house. And the crazy thing is the sound in this theater, I swear to you, is better than a normal movie theater. Like, it is heart thumping. You can hear every little thing, and it's incredibly loud. So I knew I was kind of screwed going into this. So we hooked up. Tommy actually had heart rate monitors that we couldn't really figure out. So instead, we basically downloaded an app onto these Apple Watches that lets you continuously track the entire time. And we've got some results for you that are pretty interesting.
Okay. should we place bets on who we think actually had the higher heart rate throughout the movie?
Yeah. Well, Jackson's already told us that he doesn't like these, but man, this guy's got some kind of weird gear. That's the thing about it. Okay,
is that an insult or a compliment?
No, it's like a weird competitive gear, and he's clever and tricky. So somehow I'm thinking he settled himself down. I'm actually going to take Jackson in this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually feel the same way. I don't know why, but I have a feeling Rebecca's heart rate is probably higher.
No, I am team Rebecca all the way. Me and her traversing the streets of Dublin, it doesn't get scarier than that. She was cool as a cucumber. Yeah, I'm going right, so Jackson got scared.
Y'all are insane. Rebecca is the goat. There's no way she got scared.
it's split by gender because I'm also going with Rebecca. I think she was, like Abby said, cool as a cucumber throughout the entire movie.
Well, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what the average for this study was with like 250 people, and then we'll share our results, okay?
Okay.
So the audience that watched it in this study experienced a 34% uplift in heart rate. Their resting prior was 64 beats per minute.
During the movie, it was 86 across the entire thing, and the maximum scariest moment sent someone to 131 beats per minute.
Woo! Okay.
Now, Rebecca...
For reference, with 130 heartbeats per minute, that's like somebody doing like an intense, high-intensity workout if your heart rate is getting up to like 130.
Wait a second. You mean I don't have to work out? I just have to watch movies?
Yes.
Into scary movies now.
That's what I do.
And before
we share the results, I think we really need to paint a picture of how scary this movie is. I took a little bit of audio. And we have a compilation of some terrified screams and some giggles from me. All right, Jackson, what are we doing?
We're here to watch Sinister. I'm actually kind of unwell. Also, Tommy's movie theater has the sound is actually insane. So that's going to add to this.
Jackson's heart rate is already at 102 as we're starting this movie.
Okay, yeah, it's going up.
Oh my god!
No more,
please. Please.
Oh my god! I was impressed with Rebecca. Now I'm just kind of scared of you.
Yeah.
I want to change my pick.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you hear the sick satisfaction she got from all that?
You sound like you was getting punched in the stomach the whole time.
I was. That's what it felt like.
You gotta laugh.
So, Rebecca, do you want to share what your resting prior and what your peak was?
My resting prior was 77. And during the movie, my peak heart rate, was 107.
Okay.
Pretty high.
I thought you were going to say it went down. At 68 or something. Okay.
So my resting before was 61. And when I peaked, it went up to 156.
Oh. Wow. Did you have a heart attack?
Are you alive?
Serious. There is a reason for this, though, is because...
You're a little bitch.
Besides that...
Hey, yo.
There was a specific scene in the movie where Tommy decided to come up from behind and grab my shoulders and scream, so that indicated why it went up that high.
All right. Mm-hmm. And what Kristen said.
Shout out, cowards.
Both of them. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Why do they put us in this position? When they break up and we are friends of both in the couple, they make us choose sides. We didn't break up. This is exactly what our intern Ethan is going through right now.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before this in chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
Ethan sounds like a chunk and Ray guy.
That's vile.
Ethan?
If you never come back, I
Ethan,
understand.
Do us a favor. Say chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain.
Never mind. It's accurate.
All right. Who's putting you in this position, my dude, and why even?
Okay. So basically, I have some friends who they've been together for a while. And they just broke up, unfortunately. And it's put me in this really awkward position because I feel like I can be neutral, but I'm being told otherwise. And I feel like I don't want that to be the case. So earlier, this is the thing. The guy, I've known him for about 2 years now. We've gotten really close to the point where when I was studying abroad, when his roommate moved out, he texted me. He was like, Ethan, when you get back, I want you to be my roommate, man. We want you here. So it's like, perfect. Great. So it's been about 2 years for him. And then for the girl, I've known her not all that long, honestly, probably since January. But when I met her, they weren't together at the time. And we clicked, like, pretty quickly. They got together in April. I got to see their relationship blossom. But unfortunately, I saw their relationship fall apart. And now I'm at this point. Where it's like they've gone their separate ways, and I feel like I like both of you equally, But now I'm being told that I have to choose sides.
I feel like the biggest question that is really going to sway me in whichever direction, like if we're going to choose sides here, I feel like the one defining thing is, why did they break up? Did somebody do somebody dirty? Was it a mutual thing?
Okay, it wasn't mutual, but it wasn't anything like atrocious either. So the girl, she told me, she's like, hey, I feel like there's something missing. Like, she's very like, oh, I want to go out, I want to do stuff. And he's very like, oh, I just want to sit at home, watch some movies. He wants to stay inside. So she felt like there was some excitement missing from their relationship.
Yeah. So knowing both of them and both of their personalities and the stories that you got about the breakup, who you blame a little more?
See, that's the crazy thing, because I don't even know how to feel. I feel like I'm closer to the guy, but she was the one that texted me like, hey, we broke up. You need to be a friend to your friend. And I was like, okay. He has not said a word about it. I don't think he knows that I know. Hey. So.
Ethan, I'm just going to say it right now. A real friend would not have put you in that position.
For sure.
Like, the fact that she texted you and said that to you makes me already default to his side. Because I think that's like, you don't do that to your friends, man.
That's fair. That's fair.
That seemed pretty easy.
It is odd that he has not said anything to you about it at all.
Exactly. And then I feel like we also got into a disagreement there because she's saying like, yo, you know how he is. He's sensitive. He's emotional. He's going to need support. And I'm like, he's his own man. You got to give him some space. He'll say something when he's ready. That's how I feel about it, at least.
I feel like this is kind of messed up. Like, she breaks up with him and then texts you saying, okay, well, now because I've decided I want this relationship to end, you can't be buds with your guy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, there are red flags in friendship relationships also. And I think these guys have nailed it, man, that you got a red flag with your friend if she's making you make a decision.
But I don't even think she's trying to make me make a decision.
Yes,
I think
she's
very just much like,
she just wants you to support your guy.
Yeah, but I feel like that's just our main disagreement there. The disagreement actually came outside of our relationship when I was talking to some other people, like where they're like, you know, you're going to have to choose a side.
Well, if you had to put it simply, whose company do you enjoy more?
That's so difficult. I'm going to be so real because they bring different things to the table.
Look, I'm trying to get to it. Okay. I'm trying to help the man make a decision.
Yes. But I don't want to make a decision. How can I remain neutral? No, that's what I need to know. How can I stay Switzerland?
I think that's an option. I think you can say to both of them, or you can say to her, because she seems to be the one that has the problem with it, is like, I am sorry, I am not doing that. And if you choose to be my friend, then great. But if not, if that's not acceptable to you, then the decision is made for you.
But if you choose to be Switzerland and you lose both of them, is that worth it?
Well, it sounds like the dude doesn't even care. He's not even upset. Right?
No, I think knowing this guy, he's very upset. He just hasn't said anything about it.
I don't know.
Neutral seems like the best way for you to try to go. But I do agree with Kristen that you're taking the risk of losing them both if you don't take a side. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yep.
Sorry we didn't help.
Hey, welcome to life.
Step one.
That is literally the definition of life.
Get it? The Burt Show.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay, so yesterday, the women coined the phrase defective men, which I didn't like yesterday.
I called them defectives.
Defectives.
Defectives are, can be men, can be women, can be anything, and anything in between.
So there was a ranking yesterday of defective men for, it's the funniest concept to me,
yeah.
for Abby when it came to guys. And the list included the anger guy.
That was number one, mm-hmm. The most effective that she would break up with first.
The cheater, the tease, the liar, the short guy, the guy with poor hygiene. Again, these go from least likely to hang out with to most likely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guy with poor hygiene is six. He's got a shot. The mama's boy, seven. The guy with weird friends, 8, and 9, the guy who makes inappropriate comments, she's most likely to keep around.
To be fair, I have my share. I have a lot of inappropriate comments, so I can't really judge him for that.
So the way it was presented was, these are defectives. These are all guys you are going to dump, but they're in the order of who you're going to dump first.
Right.
So you're not going to stay with any of them, but some you're going to take a little longer to dump than others. And I presented to Mo and Bert, I'm like, hey, we're all about keeping it fair here on the Bert Show. So we did the defectives for the men. I think it's only fair that we do the defectives for the women. And I asked you guys to come up with a list, and you guys were like, hail to the no.
No, thank you.
It is not going to be received the same way.
Not at all.
Mo, you want to know part of that?
Nope,
but here we are.
So I took it upon myself, and I came up with a list of defectives for the women, okay? So I'm gonna read through, just like we did the other day with Abby. So before you start moving them around and placing them in the order, I'm gonna give you the women defectives.
And don't forget the definitions, too.
Of course, absolutely, because those are so. It's not going to be obvious. I'm going to go through the list, and then you're going to have to place them from like the one that you're going to dump immediately to the one that you're going to dump last. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So out the gate, I think this is a given. I have the gold digger on there. Abby, who's the gold digger?
She is a woman who is only looking for money.
There okay. You go.
I thought you had names because I had a couple.
That's crazy.
So I thought you were asking. First and last.
So the gold digger is the first one on the list. Then I have the high maintenance princess. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, right, Abs?
Yes, confirmed.
Then you have the drama queen. It's like everything, all day, every day, just nothing but drama. And things that shouldn't be drama filled, she turns into drama. Then you have the clinger, has to be with you 24/7. You have a hard time finding time for a guy's night because she just wants to be with you. Then you have the bossy pants. This is the woman that controls everything in the relationship, what you do, when you do it. Next, you have the overly emotional. So I think that one is, again, self-explanatory. Just, it doesn't matter what conversation you have, she's going to be extremely emotional about it. Then you have the airhead. This is basically just an idiot. And it's very hard to hold an intelligent conversation with this woman. Next, you have the flirt. And so whether you are there, whether you are not there, whenever you guys go out, she is constantly flirting with other men. And then lastly, for you guys to rank, you have the provocative dresser. So she leaves nothing to the imagination, and she puts it all out there.
Okay. Mo, why don't you go first?
I had a feeling. All right. Let me see. For me, so we're going from who I would date the most. I mean, who I would dump the most, and then who I would dump the least, right? We're going in that order.
Yeah. So... yes. So if you want to start with the first, like out the gate, if that's easier for you to rank, like the very first one you're going to dump to the one that you're like going to dump last, then go for
it. So number one is the one no chance with Mo whatsoever.
No chance.
Zero. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Out the gate, I'm getting airhead out of here. I need the lights to be on upstairs. Really? Absolutely. Yeah. Can't do that. Then I'm going gold digger. I've never been a fan. Get a job.
Then the high maintenance princess to me and the gold digger kind of go hand in hand. So I'm following up with the high maintenance princess. Then it gets tough. The clinger, yeah, y'all know me. I'm very to myself. I need my space. So the clinger has to go. Then I'll go drama queen after that. I think the drama queen will be tough to deal with, but not as hard as the ones before. The flirt doesn't bother me so much. The provocative dresser doesn't bother me so much. I can handle both of those, so I'll go the flirt and then the provocative dresser. Then I'll go to bossy pants because standing on business is actually sexy to me. That's not going to bother me. And lastly, I'll go the overly emotional because I'm so used to that, it ain't going to feel like anything different. That's fine.
All right.
There was no hesitation there, man.
Our lists are very, very different.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one that I can deal with the most.
So you're going in reverse order.
I'm doing the opposite of Mo. The provocative dresser.
Okay.
I'd say in the past, that hasn't bothered me at all. I like a little trash. All right. The next one, the flirt. I can deal with that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's harmless, you know. So I can deal with that.
Okay.
Mo and I, we're very different on the airhead. I can work my way around that. You know what? I talk for a living when I get home. I don't even want to talk that much. So you can be as airheady as you want.
Perfect. No convo.
No convo. No. Sounds great. Sounds great. The bossy pants, man, being bossed around. I got control issues. That one didn't work so much for me. But I can deal with it. I can deal with it. It's almost for me like these next ones are all sort of tied. Mm. The overly emotional. Oh, my God. Well, you just never know what you're going to say. And it's going to be like this big old Oscar award winning scene. Always keeping you on eggshells. So the overly emotional. The clinger, I can't take it, man. I need my personal space, and if I'm the center of the world, that just drives me nuts. The drama queen, I would put in the same category as the overly emotional. Like, every little thing is going to be so blown out of proportion that it will absolutely drive you crazy. And again, you're walking on eggshells all the time, right? Same with the high maintenance princess, man. I mean, just, I have, way back in the day, I dated a woman that would take 2 hours to get ready. She'd look at herself in the mirror and say, I can't go out.
After getting ready for two hours.
2 hours.
Yeah, my response to that was, see you. See you at 1 or 2 in the morning. That one didn't last. And what else do we got here? The number one, is that what we're at now? Mm-hmm. The gold digger, man. I mean, there's everything about it I absolutely hate. You feel like you're busting your ass in the relationship. You're getting very little back. There's so much entitlement there. It's just a whole lifestyle, and it is exhausting. So that would be the least now.
Gotcha. Yeah, so you and Mo, actually, when I compare your list, gold digger is in the top three, and high maintenance princess are both in the top three.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Some similarities there.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't that bad, was it?
Well, I was nervous because yesterday's list only included one person that can't do anything about their physical appearance. Funny how on this list there wasn't any women on there that can't do anything about their physical appearance. Odd.
That's
very solid observation.
So odd, huh? It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
It is absolutely no fun at all. Years and years and years ago, this morning show decided that we were going to spend the night in a notoriously haunted house in Atlanta. Back in the day, it was the Beverly Hills Inn. I don't even know if it's there anymore in Buckhead. And I'm not sure what the history was, but it was notoriously haunted. I mean, people would get rooms specifically because they loved this kind of thing, and they rented it out during Halloween for that.
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, and it's a very good possibility, was it? Because this was like my first year on the show. So this was like 13 years ago. Each one of us spent a different night in the hotel. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was a retirement home for nuns.
Yes,
wasn't it like a convent retirement home or something? Like that?
Yeah, some of those nuns are still hanging out.
Yeah.
So at the time, I wasn't really sure I believed in spirits or anything like that. I'm like, let's go, man. Come on, let's do this thing. And it's no fun when it's a real deal, unless you love this kind of thing. And I try to explain it to people, like, you know, when there's somebody behind you and you can't see them, but you can feel their energy. That's what it felt like trying to sleep in this house all night. You would hear things. At one point, I was laying on my stomach trying to sleep, and I felt like a presence behind my head and my neck so much so that it startled me where I turned over expecting to see somebody and there was nobody there.
I think you were the only one that stayed the entire night though, right?
Most of the night, yeah. You know, because I got competitive.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd rather be dead and get first place.
Yeah, I think I lasted like 2 hours and I was like, bye.
So it is absolutely no fun. None of us like to do it. None of us want to do it. So what do?
Make the interns do it.
Make the interns do it this year. Yeah, makes perfect sense. So we are going to send the interns down to a haunted house this year. Katie, you have the details on this haunted house?
I do.
Oh, Tommy's got them.
Tommy's got them. Okay.
So the house is in Gainesville, Georgia, and it's on Lake Lanier.
Oh, wow.
Which has its own history. Lake Lanier was created by the completion of Buford Dam on the Chattahoochee River back in 1956. But prior to the groundbreaking of the reservoir in 1950, we all know, we won't get too deep into the history, but a lot of us know about the town of Oscarville that was occupied by a lot of people. It was a black community, and those people were forced to leave. So it's not a very good time in our history. And people often say that that lake is haunted, and a lot of strange occurrences have happened in and around Lake Lanier. And this house is actually on the lake. Like I said, it was built in 1963. Current owners bought it in April of 2021. It's a very nice house. It's got a boat with a dock, rather, with a boat slip, and it's almost about a half-acre lot. So it's right there on the lake. And I'll turn it over to Ed. Ed from Ghosts of Georgia Paranormal Investigations is here. He'll be revealing some of our ghost hunts that we've done for listeners later this year, but I'm going to turn it over to here in a second. What's up, Bert?
I want to know how the interns are feeling about this now. They're sitting in front of a mic. I can see the terrified looks on their face. I can't believe you guys agreed to do this, but I'm glad you did.
Well, we didn't know what we were agreeing to. We thought it was like an overnight show. Y'all know black people don't go to Lake Lanier.
Yeah, he's sending the two black interns to Lake Lanier as well.
Actually, the third intern, Brianna, couldn't be here, so we're actually sending. And this was just by happenstance. It happened to be the house that we were able to get. It's three black interns.
Wow. Okay.
We took that one for the team.
So you guys were sold that, hey, will you guys hang out with each other for a night, but you're only now finding out that it's a haunted house?
That's correct.
That is correct.
I did not know we were withholding. Katie, you were in charge of this.
Well done.
You are diabolical.
Well, we tried to get some others, but they fell through. And the one I wanted got booked literally 24 hours before I wanted to book it. And this was like the last one that we could get. So I went with it.
So there were many haunted, many Airbnbs or whatever that promote themselves as haunted houses?
Well, they don't promote themselves, but I found a couple and I reached out to them and this is the one we ended up with.
Okay, let's see what we're dealing with here. Ed is with us and he will be for Halloween also. Ed is always the one that we send out from Georgia Paranormal Investigations and he goes to your homes. He checks out to see if you have spirits in there or not. We've been working with him for years and years and years. So you went to this home and you brought your equipment. Hey, Ed, tell us what you found.
Oh, good morning, Bert. Yeah, there's a lot of claims of activity in the home. And one of them was a lot of the lights were getting turned on and off, and they couldn't explain what was going on. Then they had sounds of footsteps and knocks while they were in the house. Sometimes they were sleeping, they'd wake up. The original owner of the house died in the house, so that kind of led us to believe that maybe his spirit's still there. The owners, they said that they feel like somebody's laying next to them in bed and having the sheets pulled off. And
look at DeAndre's face.
Pure hearsay, man. Pure hearsay.
And I guess your interns are spending the night?
Yep.
Yeah, and they said the bed, they felt the bed shaking before, too.
Look at the excitement.
Freaky collaborations.
And, well, yeah, with the history of the lake and who's going, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
And who's going.
I like the way you put that.
Right.
We've been
both
there.
Our interns for visual effect are black, and this lake has a history that isn't so kind to black people.
I'm we just ain't bringing though. No swim trunks.
No, no swim trunks, no. Mm-hmm.
Well, it might be better that they go because the, you know, reports or the legends of what happened, it was a black community that was erased from, you know, the area because of the lake. So they may make friends with your interns here.
Okay, but I have a question.
Right.
Right. The black girls take it easy on black
men. The person that died in the house. White?
He was white.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That was an important question.
Meemaw and Papa on my side.
And Ed, you did this investigation, what, like a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half, and we haven't really talked to the owner of the house since we've been there, so I'm not sure what activity's been going on since we were there.
All right, talk about a couple of the things that happened during your investigation a year and a half ago.
Okay, well, we use what we call the cat toys. They're balls that you have to touch to get them to light up. And during the investigation, there's several times that I would ask a question and the cat balls would light up. And they'd be way across on the other side of the room. And one other thing that really happened to me is we go in and we're always respectful of the ghosts and we don't provoke or anything. But for some reason, I must have said something wrong because I got a long scratch down my arm. And that, you know, was unsettling. And I don't know what I said. They never told me.
Violent.
But we actually, we've got some EVPs from in there. And we've got five of the best ones here with us this morning.
And when he says the best, y'all, these are five of the best EVPs that we're ever going to play.
Yeah, I don't even need to hear them. I mean, just the first element of the whole thing that you actually had a cat scratch mark on your arm is enough to scare me to stay out of that house. Uh-huh. Right? All right, so what do we got?
You definitely want to hear these. Ed, you introduce these.
Okay, Shannon, one of the investigators there, she was asking, why are you here? And you can plainly hear.
Why are you here?
Gosh.
Did you hear that? Play it one more time.
Why are you here?
Watching you.
Oh.
Watching you.
Oh. Abby thought the why are you here was the ghost.
Oh, I was like, that was in HD.
Oh, my God.
That was a good EVP.
Play it one more time.
Why are you here? Watching you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought they said washing at first. I'm like,
yeah, he's just doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on this next one, Shannon asks, you have a favorite room in here? And we got...
You have a favorite room in here?
Whoa.
Did you hear it?
I could hear it. I just can't make out what they're saying.
Fireplace. Listen.
You have a favorite room in here?
So there is the main room. The living room has a fireplace.
Wow.
Okay.
The interns should stay away from the fireplace. Okay, on the next one.
They're shaking their heads like, okay.
Yeah, they should stay away from the house.
But you might want to sleep in the room, though. Anyway, the next one I asked, do you know who's been turning on the lights?
Do you know who's been turning on the lights?
Did you hear that?
No, couldn't make it out.
Sound like jingle bells.
Me.
Me.
Do you know who's been turning on the lights?
Oh, no.
Oh,
Yeah, that's
hell
one that's
no.
That's one that's long.
I don't know about Ethan and DeAndre, but that sounded like an old white man to me.
That was Ed, man.
They go over there shook it.
Okay, on this next one, I asked, do you want us to go to another room? There we go.
You want us to go to another room?
Leave?
Leave. Play it again.
You want us to go to another room?
No, man, he just has asthma. He's wheezing.
You sound mad
you get
to me.
That goes.
And the last one.
Okay, and this last one I ask, do you like to laugh?
Do you like to laugh?
Ooh, that was creepy.
Wow,
that was
creepy. Yeah.
We couldn't hear
do
what
like
they said.
Do you like to laugh?
It gave like a snicker.
It's like a creepy laugh.
All right, so... I want to check in. DeAndre, Ethan, how are we feeling, man?
I'm just hoping that, you know, this ghost was a fan of integration. That's my main concern. If he is, then I'm thinking we can come in, do a couple of corny jokes, hopefully make it laugh, and we'll be safe.
All right, so this is happening this weekend, you guys are going?
Yes, this weekend. Tomorrow, actually, I want to say.
Saturday night.
Tomorrow.
I would not be surprised if we never see y'all again.
Because they're going to die. Because they don't want to come back to work. Mo, you got to be specific.
It was a choose your own ending.
I forgot to mention, we are sending one more person with him, Amber, and she's black.
But she's used to these things because she goes on these investigations also.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. Good luck this weekend, you guys. We'll talk to you perhaps on Monday.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.